All right, and this morning we're looking at a very important program over the past 3 days that happened from the 19th to the 21st of November. Key stakeholders gathered at Crown Hotel for the National Stakeholders Consultative Dialogue on Accelerating Peace and De-escalating Violence in South Sudan. The discussions focused on the major challenges slowing down the peace process, ongoing insecurity, stalled implementation of the R-axis, political mistrust, economic pressure, and the rising impact of misinformation. But the dialogue also produced renewed commitments, unified messaging, and clear recommendations to strengthen grassroots peace initiatives, enhance inclusion, and build momentum towards the 2026 elections.
That's right. Now, this morning, we look at what was discussed, what was agreed, and also what happens next. So joining us is Galdino Ochama, who is the chairperson of the South Sudan Civil Society Forum, and Adut Christina, executive director of the South Sudan Women's Empowerment Network. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Right. Right, and I'll just ask you to speak directly to your microphones, please. So I'll start with you, Christina. What were the main outcomes and the most important messages that emerged from these 3 days of dialoguing?
Thank you so much, Irene. We had a lot that have emerged during this 3 days dialogue, as we had with the different stakeholders. The first was the fact that the R-axis must be fully implemented without further delay, manipulation, or indefinite extensions.
Mm.
The second was the fact that a genuine, inclusive national political dialogue, bringing together all signatories, holder groups, women, youth, and marginalized communities must be convened at a specified date under the facilitation of credible national, regional, and international partners. The third, however, was on the transitional roadmap. Should be revised into a realistic, time-bound, well-sequenced implementation plan with clear benchmarks, financing, and accountability mechanisms. The fourth was on the constraints to civic space must be removed, including the repeal or amendment of restrictive laws, protection of journalists, and safeguarding of civil society. And then we have the comprehensive security sector reform and unification of forces must be expedited with deployment of disciplined forces and withdrawal of armed actors from civilian areas.
Mm.
And maybe Galdino can take off from there on some of the things that might have.
Yes, Galdino.
I thank you very much. One of the recommendations is also elections must be must only proceed if minimum political, security, and legal and institutional conditions are met to ensure that they are peaceful, credible, and inclusive.
Mm.
Another one is women must be guaranteed at least 35% participation across all peace, governance, security, and transitional justice processes.
Right.
And then also the transitional justice mechanism must be immediately operationalized, prioritized, and survivor-centered approach should be put in place.
Okay. And what was agreed on accelerating peace and reducing violence?
We have a number of recommendations that will lead to that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we knew that the country is actually deeply at the risk of a wrong path, and therefore people should work together to ensure that we have inclusive dialogue in order to accelerate this.
Mm-hmm.
Genuine political will need to be rekindled. At least our leadership should think of that and try to ensure that the political will is in place. The implementation of the RCS, people said it has to be really taken into consideration. And now we believe also that in order to prevent further escalation of, you see, the situation right now, we said we should actually work together with one unified voice for all stakeholders, including the government, political leaders, security institutions, civil society, regional partners, communities. All of us should actually prioritize peace, rebuild trust, and engage constructively in dialogue.
Right.
That's the only way we can come out of this.
Okay. So earlier, when Christina was speaking about what was discussed and also the outcomes, you mentioned the gaps in the RRCs that needs to be fixed. So which gaps are these that were identified as the most urgent to address?
Thank you so much. Among the gaps that were urgent that needed to be addressed are the implementation of the transitional justice mechanisms. Must as they have been passed, for example, the CTRH and the CRA have been passed, but then the implementation phase has not been expedited enough. And then we have also the hybrid court that is actually not yet done with. And these are things that can bring unity and also bring dignity of the people back and the lost hope that can lead the country to a better stand. Mm. The second is the unification of forces, which has taken long. And this is supposed to be done in order to protect the civilians. Mm. And then also the fact that there is this back and forth dialogue that has taken long. We kept on extending. It's been 7 years now, and we haven't had elections that can take the country into the, a more reliable place.
Mm.
Yes, and this is very important because we need democracy as a country.
Right. Mm. Yes, Galdino, would you like to jump in?
Yeah, for sure. We have actually, she has mentioned, Aduta mentioned actually critical gaps that we can look at. However, the most important ones as well is that there is a slow implementation of the critical aspect of the peace agreement.
Mm.
Currently, you can see the constitutional making process is moving slowly and very slow. You can also see that the election, which ought to be conducted at the right time, it has been extended actually twice now, and we don't know, the third one may be on the way, which we in the civil society are seriously opposed to. All these are actually critical gaps. By this time, we could be having our elected government in place.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the parties to the agreement keep on slowing the implementation of this process of the peace agreement that many South Sudanese had hoped that it will usher in a new way toward our prosperity, unity, and peace in the country. So these gaps are actually many. I don't have mentioned some of them, but these are the most critical ones because we need to come out from the continuous, you know, working within the axis. You extend and then you continue to survive, you know, especially the political elites. And we're saying time is enough is enough. We need really the people to decide and bring their rightful representative in order to speak on their behalf.
And what are some of the concrete actions or follow-up steps that were recommended for government, political actors, and even the communities?
We have a number of recommendations. We have a recommendation to the political actors, which are very crucial. Among some of these important recommendations is that a country can only thrive if a political and civic space is open. Right now, we're operating in a situation where freedom of association, freedom of expression, freedom of peaceful assembly, all are actually being infringed on. We call upon the government also to unify the forces. I think that's the most important thing. We need peace. Once the forces are unified, as provided by the RCs, then we'll have a national army in place rather than having militias all around. That's an issue. We also ask the government to ensure that elections are conducted as soon as possible, you know, and that one will call finalization of constituencies and, you know, ensure that the national election is properly funded. These are the things that we call upon the government. We also continue to say the 35% that has been earmarked for women need to be observed all along these processes.
Right.
And we said operationalize the CTRH hybrid court and the CRA, which my sister Adut have just alluded to. And it should be survivor-centered. You know, right now we are worried that whether these processes will actually prioritize the survivors whom the CTRH is supposed to address. We also request them that there must be an independent judiciary in place. You know, elections and other things cannot operate where the judiciary is not free. You know, we and then therefore this one calls actually merit-based appointment in the judiciary and also judicial independence. We ask them to strengthen the local government. Traditional authorities need to be in place and community policing must be in place.
Thank you.
All these are very, very crucial. This is these are the recommendations to the government. We have recommendations to the civil society. We have recommendations to our partners, the IGAD, AU, and the rest. all have their own recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And speaking about women, Christina, how did the dialogue address the role of the women youth and also those in the grassroots networks in peace building, plus as we prepare for the upcoming elections?
Thank you so much for the question. It's good that Galtino has started the 35%. Mm. I didn't want to be the one to say women are all over the place. But the thing is, on policy recommendations, we had a lot of recommendations, even to our mediation team, the IGAD, the TRECA, the EU, and then the United Nations, the UN Women, the UNDP, UNOCHA, all those, the UN bodies. But specifically, when you talk about youth and women, it's like they have the biggest percentage in the country, but they are less likely to even be participating in all this. So we were asking, we really request the government, we are actually asking the government if there is a way they can be able to also work on the implementation of the 35%, because it is there as a quota, but it's not implemented. We have a lot of government offices which are not even implementing the 35%. You go to an office and most of them are men. And then also the youth. And the youth are actually the largest part of our country, and they are less actually involved in most of the things. And you cannot have a youth participation where the youth are not even actually participating. So we're asking the government if they can do the implementation part, because there are so many policies that have been passed, but the implementation part is lacking. So we really want the youth quota to be implemented, and also for the youth to get involved in the day-to-day activities of the country.
Right. Thank you so much. You're running out of time.
Galdino, what should ordinary South Sudanese take away from this dialogue, and how can they contribute to sustaining peace?
We have recommendations as well for the ordinary South Sudanese. You know, it is that gap which is also lacking. You know, people seems to have apathy on issues that affect us. Perhaps also this is simply because of the fact that the civic engagement has been very slow, and people have not understood their roles and responsibilities as people of South Sudan. This peace could have been implemented if the people were in the forefront in terms of its implementation, because the demands from the public is lacking. The voices are very, very, very slow. Although if you ask us, the civil society,
You're saying the voices of the South Sudanese are not coming out.
Are not coming out very clearly to the leadership. You know, the leader, people are comfortable up there if they see what they are doing and nobody challenges them.
No pressure from...
no pressure from the from the public. And we are saying that pressure must be in place. Honestly speaking, we know very well that most of the leaders right now are being appointed. But even if they are appointed, we have the right to talk to them. They are appointed there to speak on our behalf.
Right. And Galdino, that leads me to thinking, because when you go to social media, Facebook, people are talking. There is pressure on radio stations. People are calling in and airing out their grievances. Is that not enough?
I think that is not enough.
What should they do?
Yeah,
then?
That's why I'm saying it's not enough only in social media.
Yeah.
Can you look at the percentage of those who access the social media in South Sudan? You could be talking of 10% or even less.
So what do you think people should in order for their voices to be heard?
I'm saying the local people from the grassroots should understand their responsibilities. The pressure should actually build from down the Bomas, down the Payams, and all the way to the counties. And if we speak the same language, these politicians, from where did they come? They come from the Bomas, they come from the Payams.
Right.
They should go to our local people, and they get the same messaging that is in the social media. If the same message is the one being played all along, don't you think these people can listen? I think they should be able to say no, that the South Sudanese are speaking the same language all along.
Okay, we're running out of time, Galdino and Christina. What next after this in just 30 seconds?
Thank you so much. What next after this? It's supposed to be the role of the government to provide security and services to the people. Since the people are already providing, they're already paying their taxes. And the government's supposed to pay back to the community. But not everyone is accessing most of the services in the country, because the grassroots are left out. It's only the town people that are accessing it. So it's very important for the people to demand for their rights, because they are not going to know who wants what when they're in their homes. They need to do more. They need to because we have been patient enough, I think. Commitment is actually not too much as we're supposed to be. So we really need the country to come together. And as civil society, we continue to stand with the people and also be the voice for the voiceless.
Right. Galdino?
I think the whole thing is that we are just trying to ask all of us to take courageous step and try to have a unity of purpose. That's very, very important. And we're asking our leadership that they should engage in issues that are people-centered. And that's the only way is actually toward a peaceful and democratic course. The only way.
Right.
And that one can only be done by dialogue. We have to talk and come up with solutions that are implementable. Okay. It shouldn't be an empty talk. We have also said transition should not continue endlessly. We have already transitions. Extension. It must stop. We should find a way for how South Sudan should speak.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Galdino, and thank you, Christina. You have been listening to Insights from the just concluded National Stakeholder Consultative Dialogue, where leaders from government, civil society, women group, and peace partners outlined the next steps for accelerating peace and preparing South Sudan for a stable democratic transition. Many thanks, gentlemen and lady, for joining us in the studio.
Thank you.